now they've changed the entire complement with another shot. They score! Ben Sherratt came off the bench and got the shot away. It may have been tapped in front of the net, but I don't think so. This is 2-1 Winnipeg.
Well, Matt Halaschuk actually did tip it in front of the net, and that was the game-winning goal for the Winnipeg Jets. It made it 2-1 as the Toronto Maple Leafs go down to a 5-1 defeat against the Winnipeg Jets tonight. We welcome you. We welcome you. I got to stress this.
You almost said Minnesota.
No. I'm trying to articulate the mood tonight. Well, I'll just say it's Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne. After I've got to be careful about, as I think we all do, about getting too extreme, too extremely high, too extremely low. But that was a complete domination. That was a Winnipeg Jet team that flat out beat the Maple Leafs in every way, shape, and form, wanted the game more, wanted the puck more, were engaged more. We're committed more, all those types of things, and hard to believe now that Leafs actually led 1-0 at one point.
Well, thanks for leaving anything for me to contribute to the post-game analysis.
We're all
summarizing
trying to get airtime.
This entire game of what we were able to witness and see, and oftentimes, keep things in perspective, but it's difficult on a night like tonight where both teams are depleted as far as lineup goes. You can then bring in some of the excuses that were used before with they're the fresher team. I don't know sometimes where to begin in that. It all comes down to where was the pushback, Gord? Where was some of the leadership, I think, that's required to initiate and not retaliate? I'll look at the other end of the arena or the other team that was wearing a different set of jersey colors, and they happen to have a jet on them, and yet their leadership group, led by Andrew Ladd, Dustin Byfuglien, they won the loose battles. They were first to the puck. They did all the things that were necessary for a injury depleted lineup that they have. So they insulated their back end, which with four, how many guys are out that are regulars out of their lineup on the back end?
Well, three or four.
Okay.
It's such a butt kicking tonight. And then you add in the fact that you see early on Dustin Byfuglien hit Kessel. You see
right off the bat. That was the first shift that basically set the tone, even though there was no scoring in the first period. And as you mentioned, the Leafs got off to that early 1-0 lead by Santarelli at the 2:19 mark of the second period. And after that, it was all Winnipeg. 5 unanswered goals.
Thorburn just knocked Clarkson away like he's a fly. Phaneuf take a hit as well. I mean, and look like he's wincing. I mean, physically, we don't see the Jets a ton. So I'm trying to think about them like reminding us of the Big Bad Bruins or the Broad Street Bullies, or just more so even like a New York Islander team that was a team that just had big players and physically would wear you down. I mean, they just kicked their asses tonight.
Oh, yeah.
They absolutely did.
And when you talk about that particular aspect of the game that came down to some of the grunt work, the initiating and doing or even reacting, okay, to what ends up happening. And you mentioned what Thorburn did to Clarkson. Clarkson certainly was engaged trying to come to Phil Kessel's defense against an offensive defenseman last night, right?
With Scandella.
With the Minnesota Wild Scandella, which is never going to do anything. But tonight when Thorburn, pushed him back or nailed him to the ice, okay, David, let's give him that, because this isn't questioning David Clarkson's character, because he'll show up and do some of the things when necessary. But then when it happened again, when Andrew Ladd nailed him and there's no pushback, that says a lot, I think, to not testing his own personal character, but I think what's missing with this, group right now that continues to claim that they're a group that has good chemistry, they like each other. Well, if that's the case, they certainly don't necessarily all pull on the same rope together as though they like each other. It might be in theory, but certainly doesn't translate onto the ice on a number of nights that we've seen far too often this season.
Well, I'll tell you, we have to take a break in about 3 minutes' time, so I was going to open the phone lines then, but we already have a couple of people calling in anxious to join us on Leafs Nation postgame. Again, if you want to hang in there, the numbers are 870-0590. *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. We appreciate Tyler jumping in, jumping the queue. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, gentlemen. It's good to be back. I wish we're meeting under better circumstances. just to touch on what you guys talked about before, how Winnipeg was depleted on their blue line. You know, the Leafs were missing Lupul, Holland, and Kadri. That's their second and third centerman out. And it's easy to just make excuses and say, you know, because those guys were out, maybe that's why they lost. But, you know, you're down 5-1. You can't accept that as a reason. Like, you have to lean on your core guys, like you were saying earlier. You've got Clarkson and Phaneuf, $5.2 million for Clarkson and $7 million for Phaneuf. And you mix into the mix the Band-Aid Lupul, who's a great hockey player when he's on the ice, but it seems like he just can't stay injured. You've got $17 million there, and that's almost one third of your $60 million cap hit just in those three guys right there. And I don't think it's fair to blame anybody but the core guys. You know, the Winnipeg was banged up as bad as the Leafs were with injuries tonight, and they found a way to come out and compete. And I'm just a Leaf fan who thinks that up here at the cottage, me and my friends, we're wondering whether or not it's time to just strip it down again. You know, like, is this the core group of guys that's going to take you deep into the playoffs right now? Can you honestly say that? I know I can as a Leaf fan. And I hate to be pessimistic and always be negative on the boys. I'd love to just call in and have a short conversation with you guys saying that was just a great Leafs all-around effort. But I'm still waiting for that one game when I can actually honestly say that and look myself in the mirror in the morning and know that I told the truth. Just curious to see what your guys' opinion was on that topic.
Well, the stripping down is the easy part. That's number one. And just to refresh people's memories, the injuries for the Winnipeg Jets, and I'm glad Trotter wasn't using the Leaf injuries as an excuse. Toby Enstrom, Zach Bogosian, Jacob Trouba, Mark Stewart, Evander Kane. Significant, significant injuries.
All things are equal pretty well when it all comes at the end of the day between the two teams.
At least equal. At least equal. Yeah, I mean, maybe even more in the Jets.
And you would say that the Jets play in the more difficult conference when it comes to the National Hockey League and the Western Conference. And so then when it came down to some of the elements that you talked about, that I talked about, here's one of the things that I have a hard time accepting, at least from an effort standpoint. Last two losses, Dion, no hits. Not last night, not tonight. Where's the leadership when it needs some form of leadership from your captain?
Well, we got the leadership here. It's Mark Osborne, and I will be there with him, Gord Stellick. More Leafs Nation postgame coming up. Get your phone calls in. You want to join us? Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Swatted back in there by Phaneuf. Centering pass. Backhand play. Scores! Dan Riemsdyk got it back in front of the net. And Mike Santorelli, with a bouncing puck to contend with, was able to just
gotta always love the excitement of Joe Bowen's calls. Mike Santorelli. Yes, the Maple Leafs actually had a 1-0 lead. It lasted all of a minute and 10 seconds. Then the Winnipeg Jets score 5 unanswered goals to defeat the Leafs by a score of 5-1. Tonight, as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Bob McGill, will join us in a few minutes' time. Now, we'll take some Leafs Nation postgame callers at 870-0590. *590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Steve in Nashville. Hey, Steve.
I think it was worse than the Nashville game, guys. They were just physically dominated. And one of the things that struck me in the game, especially the first two goals, were Roman Polak. In St. Louis, he was number 4 or 5 defenseman. Suddenly the Leafs get him. Now he's playing the second most minutes on the team on the back end. And it leads me to a massive question for that you guys are both uniquely positioned to answer. This team is incredibly self-congratulatory. They wake up in the morning and they give themselves an applause. They lose to Minnesota. And after the game, oh, we did some good things. Well, what good things? You lost 3-1. What is it about this franchise that even now, you know, post-1967, is there something in the water? Is it just delusional? People always talk about how the media is so tough on the team. Go ask Alex Rodriguez what tough media is. You know, these guys seem to get a pass constantly for coming in postgame, saying these kind of things, having these kind of performances, and then there's always going to be an excuse. Well, we were on the road. Well, we're injured. So what is it, guys? What is, when we hear this culture change, what is it within this organization that seems like this kind of stuff is tolerated?
Appreciate the call, Steve. And Ozzie, you obviously played here. I do want to first point out, including an era you played in, that there have been some great eras since 1967. They didn't get you a Stanley Cup, but some positive eras. I agree on the other side, the flip side, there's been more of the adversity than those positive eras. But I've always maintained as well that I think he has nailed it, a degree of it,
yep,
that as difficult as this place is to play in, you also get your butt kissed like you cannot believe. It's a very forgiving place, and to be a Toronto Maple Leaf, and you have that one, you just win a game, and all is well with the world. And it's different than cultures in other cities.
Well, here's an interesting thing, and I think he nailed it bang on. Steve from Nashville. Imagine a great Leaf fan living in Nashville, Tennessee, following the Maple Leafs. So,
and I guess the Predators, too. He was bummed about their game.
We congratulate him on that. And, Gord, it was interesting because he hit on something that I said to you the other night. And I said, I wrote that down in my notes because if you notice, I come with all of my notes from every game.
I don't know if you're faking it or not.
So I go back to the game where the Leafs won in Boston. And here were some of my post-game comments that I gave to you and what I said that I felt about this group. And I said, unbalanced self-evaluation and easily satisfied. You know, that was my assessment after they won in Boston. And then I got criticized by somebody on Twitter that I'm too hard on this team and they'd rather listen to you solo because I'm just too negative. Okay. So we're here. We are a few games later. They've lost two in a row, right?
Yep.
Minnesota last night, tonight, you saw the effort and again, self-evaluation, easily satisfied. This all comes down for me to leadership on this team in general. You can change the coach. You can bring in a new manager, a new president, whatever it is that you want to do. And it still comes down to the core group of guys that you have assembled here. And forgive me if I'm getting emotional or I get a little bit carried away from myself when I said there were a lot of things that you and I both liked after the Nashville game, how this could have been or seemed like a galvanizing time for this team where Dion stood up, said some things and addressed some things that it was like, wow, we've never seen this or heard this before. And they started to improve and the Leafs went on that 10-1-1 run. Since then, and now, by the way, on the 7-game road trip, lost 5. And it's not so much that they've lost 5, it's how they've lost 5 that, again, begs me to ask the question and continue to contemplate on this core group of leaders on this team is where is the leadership. You'll have great effort from a guy like Leo Komarov, Daniel Winnick, Mike Santarelli, some of your foot soldiers, but it still comes down, you win and lose with your core group of leadership star players. And hate to say it, but on most nights, it's not there.
Well, and Ozzy, as I mentioned, you're the guy who's actually experienced it in the dressing room. I've witnessed it. I you know, being on the management side, you smell it. You know, the dressing room is the best litmus test, but you smell the true leaders and whether you have good leadership groups or core or not. And it's an intangible that's huge. And I make a lot of Snubgate because it ticked me off because it showed exactly what you said. A void in leadership, a void in intelligence, a void in common sense, suckiness in that we're going to take our puck and go home and all these things. I will say that and then say, as you'd said, 48 hours later, I gave them a lot of marks and I haven't taken that away. I thought that starting with Dion Phaneuf and a number of them recognized the error of their ways and stood up, and it's been a positive run since. It still can happen. It's not like they're out of this. It's not like it's all said and done, but that's what has to emerge again. Not so much about Snubgate, but more about on the ice. Getting your ass kicked by a Winnipeg Jet team tonight in every way, shape, or form, blowing 2-goal leads ad infinitum, and then coming out with milquetoast comments. And, you know, it goes back to George Strombolopoulos' interview with three different owners, and one of them, Larry Tannenbaum, and just talking about he does go in the dressing room and he likes to congratulate them when they work so hard. And, hey, if you're satisfying the big boss, even though our company and the other media company are the actual equity majority owners, you're probably saying, I'm doing okay.
But you know what? The best teams, the real good teams, and we went over this by being impressed with what we saw based on the Chicago Blackhawks leading up to this Winter Classic that they just lost the other night. And I said to you, what's the most impressive thing that you noticed about the Blackhawks and the way that they approach things or their leadership core is that it's winning. It's about winning. It's that's the be all and the end all, and that's where they measure the bar. And when they lost, if you remember, to L.A., right, in the semifinals, how difficult of a pill that would have been to swallow. And you go back to the year in which this team finally did make the playoffs, first time in 10 years, right?
Yep.
And satisfied again that we took Boston to 7 games and had a 4-1 lead. And what have we done since then? I mean, I think it's right there. Still in the playoffs again. And we might be overstating things. And again, the emotion after a loss, we tend to get a little bit carried away at times. I'll admit that because we're emotional. Like yeah. we're fans as well. But yet we do know what we see. And all we want is effort. And the Winnipeg Jets did give you effort. Calgary Flames do give you effort consistently. And I think that's not too much to ask from this particular group at the end of the night.
As do the Florida Panthers, right. Another recent team they played. Well, we had Steve in Nashville. Now we head to Dallas, Texas. Leafs used to have their Central Hockey League team there, the Dallas Blackhawks, so many years ago. Stu joining us. Hey, Stu.
Hey, guys. Well, you know, Steve and both you guys touched on the issues I wanted to bring up, which was the leadership and the I guess, like the overarching or far-reaching sense of mediocrity that I get whenever I listen to the post game interviews and we found building blocks for our hockey club, things to build on. I echo Steve's comments from Nashville. He's in Nashville. I'm all the way down here in Dallas cheering for the Leafs, so I must be a diehard fan. But it really gets you to wondering just what the culture is like in the organization. And so since you guys have really touched on the leadership deal, I don't want to beat it to death, take up airtime with that. If you're Brendan Shanahan, what are you thinking right now? I mean, you're seeing a hockey club that doesn't have anybody in its lineup who is going to step up and kick other guys in the ass and say, we need to get this done. We need to change things. I think of guys like Doug Gilmore, Wendell Clark. I mean, those guys, when they spoke with their actions, and they probably were listened to in the locker room. Ozzy, you could probably speak to that. There isn't really anybody on this team that I don't think the players are going to respond to, and they're certainly not responding to the coach. So anyway, I'll leave my comments at that. But I'd love to hear if you're in Brendan Shanahan's shoes, what do you do?
Well, this is why he gets paid. It's not a money thing. But that's why he's getting the big bucks to be the guy. And this is where Brendan Shanahan has to emerge as the guy. My understanding is in Snubgate that he did actually, that they did address the players and said, you created this mess and you better find a way to get yourselves out of it. And they did. And Brendan Shanahan, who has played with consummate leaders, I would think, throughout his career. And I'm curious what he's thinking of doing. I think he would have perspective. I think that's a good part, unlike some owner or whoever in charge that may just kind of go kind of wild out there given the circumstances. And, you know, Ozzy, he's taken the place of the guy that hired him in Tim Leiwicki because he doesn't have Leiwicki's job, but basically you can do what you want now because there's no Leiwicki. And Leiwicki was a guy that said, we have a guy without character on our team. And everyone thought it's Phil Kessel, fairly unfairly, right or wrong. But I'm saying that's the guy who's in charge about putting a new culture this last year. And then he alludes to somebody on a team that we actually know is, quote, a bad guy.
But you know what? If we want to keep things in perspective here a little bit and say, okay, you know what? We've got a lot of respect for Brendan Shanahan, the player, the way that he played, the passion that he displayed, the compete factor, the power forward, the winning of the Stanley Cups and everything. And then he's been elevated to this position. And my only simple question to you, Gord, would be as far as Brendan's reference point or his experience in the game at the level in which he has now been empowered to do things, what is his experience?
Well,
what is his experience as a president of a hockey club in the short term on the job? He's been on the job for what, 38 games now? And he's trying to dissect and gain information. And probably at the end of the day, I don't still think he's that experienced enough, I think, to really make the hard choices or decisions at the moment. And it's a difficult spot he's been put in a short period of time to bring about or make some change, if well, what you might be saying.
Well, you know, the other thing, and, you know, you look at, on the NFL side, for example, you look at a guy like Matt Millen, given the keys to run the Detroit Lion franchise, a respected XFL, NFLer.
And what happened? What happened?
Disaster, disaster, okay. Disaster. My one experience, and I'll go back to my era, but... And this is where we'll find out.
But what are the realistic expectations of Brendan Shanahan?
No, but I'll tell you what. Here's what I'm going to talk about. In him keeping Dave Nonis and a group around him, I think back in the 80s that two guys, Bob Clark and Serge Savard, pretty well came right off the ice to the general manager's chair. Okay, Bob Clark in Philadelphia, Serge Savard in Montreal. They both had success right away. The big thing was, look who they were surrounded with. Bob Clark had Keith Allen, the former general manager, as his mentor, and a strong organization in place. Serge Savard had a strong organization place in Montreal. And that's what I'm saying about Brendan Shanahan. It's a twofold part about it that, yeah, there's the rawness and the genuineness and maybe the newness that can be a plus, but also, much like we're asking about the players and leadership and everything else, that's an important part as far as Brendan Shanahan's abilities go, in my estimation. He's got guys around there, and I start with Nonis, and that should be a plus. We'll see.
Okay. But at the end of the day, we're still not even halfway through this season. Leafs are still in a playoff position. They've proved that they can score goals. But yet the last number of weeks has caused us to be deeply concerned, again, from what we've seen, the lack thereof of what happened at the end of last year.
The compete factor.
Yeah, the compete factor. Or just either they've tuned out Randy Carlyle and... Do you think that a different voice, because it's going to happen at some point, you're going to get somebody else behind the bench that's going to inherit this core group of players, and it's easy to work with a Leo Komarov, a Daniel Winnick, a Mike Santarelli, even Roman Polak to a degree, and I know that, you know, Steven Nashville was kind of complaining a little bit about, you know, Polak and him being elevated now to number two ice time on the team, whereas in St. Louis, he was probably... four or five when it came down to that. So again, it still comes down to expectations of what we see this team. Should they be a playoff team? Yes, they should be a playoff team. They've reverted back to their old ways, and it's going to be interesting when we eventually do get Bob McGill, because Bob watches them and is at practice more than we are.
Yeah.
And I've got some good questions for Bob as a result.
We'll take one more call and then we'll get a hold of Bob McGill. It is interesting. You know, Shanahan did bring in Peter Horchek and Steve Spott as his two chosen, not Randy Carlyle's two chosen assistant coaches. So I don't know if there was a backup in mind there. I know when Tom Watt was brought in as Doug Carpenter's assistant and Gary LaRivière was fired, that was part of it. Floyd Smith wanted someone he could make head coach. He didn't expect it to be so quick, though, after 11 games. Let's get Robert in Woodbridge. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're okay.
Good. Ozzy, I'll say one thing. You're actually too late on these Leaf players, so I support everything you say. I mean, I was watching the game tonight, and honestly, like, I wanted to vomit here in my basement. I mean, you talk about Dion Phaneuf. Here's what I look at. You know, I remember Ricky Vive, and I can't remember if you played with them, Ozzy.
Yeah, I did.
But Ricky Vive, I mean, heart and soul of that Leaf team, and, you know, they ended up stripping the C off of him. Daryl Sittler, probably the best captain of the Leafs of all time, they drove him out of town. You're telling me that they cannot consider or even look at potentially stripping the C off of Dion Phaneuf? I mean, he is a horrendous, horrendous captain. That's number one. Number two, Phil Kessel. I am sick and tired of why this guy gets a pass with the media. I think it's BS that while he's shy in front of the camera, he's this, he's that. There's no accountability on his part. He never sits there and explains himself why he has such a crappy game. I mean, he's just a pure floater. I look back at the deals that this team has made, and there's reasons why organizations get rid of players, and that's why Boston got rid of them. Jake Gardner, I mean, this guy, I mean, just get him out of town. He is just lost out there. He does not know what he's doing, and there's a reason why Anaheim got rid of him. So, I mean, for me, the frustration is with the core. You've made changes to the bottom six, which, you know, it's much improved. You've changed your assistant coaches. They've totally tuned out Randy Carlyle, and that's because the core is not willing to pay the price on this team. It's time to make changes. Unfortunately, one of your callers said it, a lot of these contracts, they're screwed with them in terms of known as what he's given out. I'll listen to you guys. Thanks.
Well, it just, you know, first of all, you talk about the captains, and if you're saying you want to follow suit what happened to Dave Keon and Daryl Sittler and Rick Vive, look how those worked out. So you don't, as far as Dion goes. Do you want to do what the San Jose Sharks did? And I wouldn't do it during the middle of the season, but it maybe is something to
discuss.
It was
talked about this summer, and it never happened.
But
right?
I wouldn't do it during the course of the season either. And again, I look at it, the support group around Dion, as much as anything else. And instantaneously, you can't just do that. But a couple of little tweaks and a couple of guys starting have the confidence, and Stefan Robitaille's not in the lineup now. So
four games in a row.
So I'm sure he's not feeling that kind of positive, that ability to exert that positive leadership that we all think he really brings to the team. And I think Bob McGill will echo that sentiment. So as we say, there's a malleableness to it that it can be done. It can evolve. And it seemed to be after Snubgate. And you know, maybe it's something that on the ice more we have to see. You can't say they didn't want to, you know, make a difference in a 5-1 loss tonight, but just about some of the post-game crap and some of the comments and some of what's accepted and some of what's not accepted, maybe.
Yeah, you know what, and I keep, what keeps on resonating in my mind, and I think Nick Kiprios happened to get this really right after, you know, that period of time where the leadership group was I think, made some, you know, immature decisions in regards to the fans. I mean, we're past that. I don't want to bring it up. But the point that he did make was that this team, for instance, does not have a real alpha male dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Dion with, you know, his lack thereof, are we going to be really critical of Dion and his inability to lead this particular group at a point in time now for a number of years where, when things do go bad or go south, you need somebody to display some form of emotion or leadership, or at least go down with the ship swinging, so to speak. And that's one thing that we simply have not seen out of Dion. And so when a caller comes and calls and gives that fair criticism, there's no way of getting around it. We can't necessarily disagree with that. And the same thing when it comes to your star players like Phil. You know, Phil is Phil. And I don't necessarily want to accept him for the way that he is. We accept him as a goal scorer, and yet he's probably never going to change his personality, his persona, the way he deals with the media. He tried the other day, right, in Boston, like, lo and behold, on the day of the game, and he happened to have a good game. But it's so out of his character to do some of the things that are necessary, I think, and we put an unfair expectation, I think, on some of these guys, rightly or wrongly. That's just the way it is.
Of course, telling Mark Osborne, listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. A 5-1 loss for the Maple Leafs tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. Our buddy Bob McGill from Leafs TV joining us. And, you know, Bob, as Ozzie mentioned, you're probably closer to the scene on a day-to-day basis. You've got that insight about being a player and guys and leadership and all the intangibles that are going on. It's being brought into question again, and I'm just interested in your take about things for people that have the Chicken Little complex or just trying to let cooler heads prevail.
I don't know, guys. Like, it's just so disheartening to watch. And, obviously we don't get a chance to be in the dressing room before, in between periods or after games to see what's being said. But holy smokes, like, the compete level and, you know, guys showing up, like, holy cow, like this one here tonight. Like, yeah, I know it was a tough battle last night, but it's not like you had to fly 3-4 hours to get to the next city and whatever. I mean, you know, it's probably, you know, they were probably in Winnipeg before midnight last night, and So, you know, it's a game where you've got some guys who are obviously from the area. You expect that there would be some, maybe a little jump and some pushback. And, boy, they didn't show up tonight. It was a good thing James Reimer was good early in the hockey game through the first couple periods, and they would have been blown out. Who knows how bad it would have been.
Big Daddy, I know that there are times when we've watched this team over the course of time during practice, and we come away saying, wow, I wish that they would take that practice into the game. And I think what I'm really referring to, and again, you're at practice more often than I am, certainly on off days when, you know, they do some of the teaching stuff or they do some of the hard-nosed drills that we hated to do, but yet we did it on a day-to-day basis. And I think we got better defensively as a result because we didn't want to do those kind of practices, but we knew that that was just part of being a good defensive team. Have you seen that enough from this group this year as compared to other years under Randy Carlyle, or is it basically been, you know what, our identity is all about scoring goals and we're just going to keep it that way as a collective group?
Well, you know, Mark, I think what happens is, everyone makes mention about, you know, they're the highest scoring team in the league. And then, you know, you go on that run when you're on that big homestand where you scoring goals left and right. And, you know, you're winning games maybe you shouldn't because of your offense. And I think what happens is you let your defensive side of the game slip. And then it's hard to get it back. And the other team gets that mental edge where they know that if, you know, they can get in the leaf zone and get their cycle game working, that they're going to have it's going to be a day where they're going to have some opportunities to score some goals. And I guess the big thing for me is just watching over the course of this road trip, like, you know, they've lost, what, 7 of their last 9 games now. They're 2-5 on this 7-game road trip. And just that compete level that I'm not seeing from, you know, from too many players. And that's tough to watch because for me that's something that you can control. You can control how much you compete. And, you know, that defensive side of things, when things aren't going great offensively, if you work hard defensively, you're going to get an opportunity maybe offensively. And, you know, it's something where, you know, playing defense is a will, not a skill. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, when I look at over the course of the last couple of games, you know, last night, obviously, that fourth line only had very few minutes in the game, but they had an opportunity tonight. And, you know, a couple times they go out there and Carter Ashton, you know, it ends up in the back of the net. You know, David Booth doesn't get it out late in the second there. And, you know, it's in the net again. And, you know, so the fourth line, all of a sudden you're -2. And, you know, that's a disheartening thing because it was an opportunity for some guys to maybe show that, you know, yeah, we got some injuries up front with some of the skilled guys in Holland, Kadri, and Lupo, but I'm going to get my chance to show that I can play and can compete. And I didn't see enough of that.
Can you, you know, and it kind of, don't get me wrong, it doesn't come down to one player. And I know when teams are losing, you start going over with a fine-tooth comb, like, why is this person sitting? Why is this person in? We're a little baffled about what's going on with Stefan Robida.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to not see him in the lineup tonight. And, you know, is he banged up? I don't know. But, you know, after, you know, even I guess when you've got an opportunity maybe last night in Minnesota where you have a back-to-back and maybe you think maybe you're going to try and win that game before you get to Winnipeg, maybe you dress 7D in a night, and then if you're not going to play that fourth line very often because they needed some help on the back end. But, you know, Robida has had some ups and downs, but I don't think he's been that bad where when you lose games, you don't get back in the next night. So I was a little surprised, actually, tonight when I didn't see him in the lineup.
Big Daddy, is it unfair? I know, you know, when you do what we do, Gord and I, we've also got to sometimes, you know, reach for things at times, and our, you know, emotion can get the best of you after watching what you described a game tonight, which ended up becoming and being very disappointing from just some of the simple things that we come to expect is that, you know what, you're not going to win every game, but if you show up and you put forth a work ethic, you'll accept that, you know, in general as an average fan. you know, one guy in particular that, I don't know, I guess when you not necessarily challenge or question his heart, but a guy like David Clarkson, who I think when push comes to shove will do some of the things that are necessary. I mean, he'd come to an aid of a teammate. He'd be tempted to drop his gloves. But on a time tonight, there was a couple of instances where he didn't respond. And I was quite surprised, not only the one time when Andrew Ladd, you know, knocked him down, but it was there was also one other opportunity that he had with one of those.
I don't know if it was Thorburn or whatever.
Thorburn there in front of the net, and he did not respond at all. Not even a chirp or a whack back. And I think that really said a lot for me, at least.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mark. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, it's funny where, you know, you see hear a follow on Twitter a little bit tonight and people, you know, asking where's Colton Orr and, you know, different players because there's no pushback from this hockey club. And you know, you're right, because, I mean, that's a guy that has to have some pushback is David Clarkson. And you're right here tonight, like, is it, you know, is he, I don't know, like, I got no excuse for him. And, you know, I was a little disappointed also when I saw a couple of things transpire in the game. And usually he'd be a guy going in there, and even if he doesn't drop his gloves, he's going to whack somebody with a stick or give somebody a shot with a glove on or something. And you didn't see any of that pushback tonight. And I guess that's a little bit disheartening. And, you know, boy, oh, boy, look at what's coming up. You know, where you're looking at the standings after the game tonight. And, you know, the Capitals are right there with the Leafs, and they've got a couple games in hand. They come in here on Wednesday. And then you've got Columbus Blue Jackets who are getting their lunch handed to them here tonight. But, you know, those two home games to turn things around, because daunting in the next little week after is the fact that they got to go out to California and St. Louis on a four-game road trip. So you better turn some things around. And, you know, it seems like we're hitting the repeat button here as we – go through the season, where it's like, you know, it's time for some guys to take a look in the mirror and whatever. But you know, I don't know what they're going to do. It'll be interesting to see here, because, you know, you see Brendan Shanahan sitting up in the stands up in the press box there or whatever tonight, and he was not looking too happy, and I'm sure he hasn't been with the performance of this hockey club since the Christmas break. And you know, what are they going to do? I don't know. I mean, yes, you've got some injuries, so it's difficult to as you move forward, but there's got to be something. They got to catch the attention of the players here in a hurry, because this could really start to spiral way out of control, which already, hey, it's 2-7 in their last nine. I'd say it's out of control right now, and you better hope that they can get this back on the rails here come Wednesday.
Not out to get Randy Carlisle's job. I'm just curious. It's always the easiest move to make, and I'm curious your sentiment about that. It probably involves more of a read on Brendan Shanahan, but that is a possibility.
Well, I'm sure it is, and you know, nothing against Randy, because, you know, I mean, I you know, chatted with Randy numerous times over the couple of years that he's been here, and you know, it's just, you know, it's unfortunate. I've been there too. I've been fired from a couple of different coaching gigs myself, and you know, you try and talk till you're blue in the face to get the players to buy into what's going to help them win, and if they're not accomplishing it. Sometimes that's what happens. Obviously, the coach is going to fall on the sword, I guess you can call it. But, you know, it's something where I'd still like to see the players take some of the onus here, because, you know, it's not too often I've heard guys step up and say, hey, I let the team down tonight. I was bad. I need to be better and whatnot. And, you know, tonight was certainly a night where they had a lot of passengers. And, you know, last time I checked, the coach can't stop a goal or score one. So, you know, it's one of those things. But unfortunately, you're right. In the salary cap world today, sometimes it's going to take the coach being fired to maybe get the attention of a couple players. I don't know. But, you know, look what's happened in New Jersey. It's been sort of mixed reviews since they've made the coaching change there.
Big Daddy, one final question for me. On the other side of the ledger, I mean, you would have to agree with a depleted back end for Paul Maurice and the Winnipeg Jets, having a guy that's as versatile as Dustin Byfuglien, man, was he a wrecking ball tonight. He was probably right off the get-go that first shift when he leveled Phil Kessel, basically set the tone for the game. That's a pretty impressive effort by the big big blue liner, sits about 6'5 and about 260. Tough guy to contain nonetheless.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? It's interesting, eh, Mark? He looks like he's in shape right now. Like he doesn't, like a couple of years ago, he looked like real heavy and not moving very well. He's moving well. He's in shape. It looks like he's bought into what's going on there in Winnipeg. And you know what? Hey, Paul Maurice, he came in last year after they fired Claude Noel. And, you know, he's got a pretty good record with that hockey club. He's got them playing well. Actually, with their victory tonight, they're a game over 500 at home. It's their road record, which is very impressive and a good reason why they're sitting in a playoff spot right now. But, yeah, Byfuglien, you know, to have a guy who's versatile like that, and when he wants to play or sets his mind to it, you can't stop him. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, he can run through you, over you, around you, and do all kinds of things as he did here tonight. He was wreaking havoc on the Maple Leafs. And you know what? You look at that team, their back end decimated with injury, their top four guys all out for extended periods of time. And you know what? They pieced together a couple guys from the American Hockey League. And, you know, Sherrod, who I watched in the Calder Cup Finals last year, was terrific for them in St. John's. Gets his first NHL goal tonight, gets an assist. And he's, you know, proven that, hey, he can play in the NHL. So there's lots of different things, man. You know, that Winnipeg team, like, they're big. And, you know, they got a couple of tough guys that still play in Peluso and Thorburn that get out there and get in the forecheck. And, you know, they did a lot of things tonight to help that hockey club win.
Well, Robert, it's continues to be the ups, the downs, and always to make sense either way. We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you down at the arena, I guess, on Wednesday.
You bet, fellas. Look forward to it as always, and keep up the good work.
I'll probably see you on Monday, Bob. I'll be there on Monday ahead of the Wednesday game, so we'll get in some insights at that point.
Well, it's the outdoor practice on Monday, boys.
Yeah, so share your good stuff for Wednesday when we chat, okay, Bob? Yeah, no problem. Okay, happy New Year, by the way.
You too, guys.
Bob McGill joining us, and oh boy, what can we say? Let's take the break. We appreciate Robert joining us. We will come back. Maybe take some more calls. We'll hear from Randy Carlisle. Interesting. Let's hear from Randy Carlisle, some of the players, if what we talk about, do they actually evoke some sentiment about not so good, right?
Yeah. You know what? And I think that he stated and he regretted putting Leo Komarov up with Kessel and Tyler Bozak and felt that it was his worst game of the year, Leo Komarov. So interesting comments.
We'll come back. It's a 5-1 win for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. No joy in Leaf Nation tonight, but we continue. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand.
Doesn't get it out. Here is Wheeler into the slot. A shot. They score. Byfuglien.
Well, I got to hear that a whole lot tonight. That was Dustin Byfuglien, his ninth of the year. He was a dominant factor in tonight's game. A 5-1 win for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. What did he have all in all? He had one goal, one assist, was plus +4. Tonight, as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
But did you see the way that he controlled the puck? How do you get a puck from him in today's game with the rules? I mean, moving your feet, puck protection, 6'5", 260. When he decides to put on a clinic, I mean, he is one tough wrecking machine.
Well, let's find out what Randy Carlisle thought of the Winnipeg wrecking machine or whatever else he thought about in tonight's unfortunate debacle for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Here's the Maple Leaf coach after tonight's game.
How do you avoid tired mistakes in a situation like that?
Well, I think that really what we try to do, and we know back-to-backs are going to be, you know, challenging when another team has, you know, been rested for 3 or 4 days, but usually what you try to do is you try to get your structure and you play simple and you stop in the defensive zone. You don't get up above the puck. You're always on the defensive side, and our group did none of that tonight.
That said, you got the start you would have liked as well with Mike's goal.
Yeah, and, you know, but then, you know, a minute later we give up a goal. And we had opportunities, and we were outside the zone when we should have been in a safer defensive posture, and that's the kind of things that hurt us. And then they score the second one, and once they went 3-1, we just seemed to lose all of our acumen as far as playing the game. We did a bunch of things. We were all over the place.
Change lines a bit again tonight. Obviously, that's going to be an ongoing thing with the
Well, injuries, exactly. Yeah. And when you're not having what you think is it any balance whatsoever through your lineup, then you've got to try and find ways to do that. But, you know, again, it's an opportunity for some other people when you have injuries and when you have issues that your lineup can't be what you want it to be, and nobody's is that way for the course of 82 games. That other people get an opportunity to show us what they've got.
Did you like Leo with Phil in particular?
No. I thought that was Leo's worst game of the year.
Randy, when you look back, you went 10-1-1 there, and then since you've gone 2-7. How do you count that kind of wild swing?
Well, the 2-7 is from the Christmas break is what I remember most, because we won the game before in Dallas 4-0. We didn't play very good, but we won the hockey game. But then when we went into Florida, didn't think we played that well, but we still had a two-goal lead going into the third, and those are the kind of ones that hurt you. We had a two-goal lead against Tampa in Tampa. They come back, and we didn't get points out of that. And those are the ones that hurt you. We go into Boston, you know, we find a way to win a game in a tough building. And then last night, we were in the hockey game, but we took ourselves out with undisciplined. So there's a bunch of things that are ailing our hockey club, and we're going to have to get back to practice, focus on the process, regroup with our players, and bring some of the things that are rearing their ugly head here over the last little while.
Well, the comment you made, he was quick to jump on that about Leo Komarov just not that fit on that line and other things. What did you think? We've got a few minutes.
Well,
we'll
you know what? Let me just comment on that comment that he made about Leo Komarov, which a little bit surprising for me, and surprised that Randy, out of a foot soldier, a guy that is so consistent, brings it night in and night out. What was missing from the Leafs lineup was what Leo was able to deliver the other night in Boston. Scores a goal, 9 hits, and you know, is that unjust or unfair criticism directed to a foot soldier type of guy? I've never heard Randy talk ever like that about Phil Kessel, James Van Riemsdyk, his captain. And is this easy to direct that kind of a comment towards one of your foot soldiers? I think probably it is. And a little bit surprised that Randy chose those type of words.
Well, I'm wondering maybe a bit the other way, that he just has come to expect so much of Leo Komarov, and just that playing him on that line didn't work. I don't know as much as
but the comment that much about that's his worst game of the year. Just think about the comment that he made in James Reimer's game last year in Detroit. I thought he was just okay, and how that got blown out of proportion. Anyways, again, it's just a reaction that I had, a comment made towards one of the guys who has been one of your most consistent performers and has got some type of kahunas when it comes down to heart and character in your locker room. So there.
Anything else he said that caught your imagination? I mean,
well, you know what? It sounded very upbeat.
That was the point I was going to make, is he didn't sound like drudgery or dreading it.
He get back to work, things.
Which is important. You know, you cannot depict that or portray that no matter how you feel.
Even though the expression on the bench, I think it was after the little goal that made a 4-1 on the power play, that, you know, oftentimes coaches can't hide behind expressions, certainly when the camera is on them. But I think that was a frustration point that, again, with all things being equal, you can't use fatigue as an excuse tonight. 1 hour difference, et cetera, et cetera. Winnipeg wanted the game more than the Toronto Maple Leafs. It has nothing to do with that you played last night, I don't really believe, with looking at both lineups.
Well, it's something we will continue to chat about next hour. Tim Campbell will join us from the Winnipeg Free Press. They have to be pretty pleased about how things are out there in Winnipeg. That's a big win for them, an injury-depleted lineup, to say the least. Also, we'll take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard.
Yeah, a whole hour we've gone through without even a bit of anything from the out-of-town scoreboard. So I guess we're going to wait for hour two.
Well, we will wait for hour two. And, of course, Montreal, I've already got enough from my buddy J.S. and his Montreal Canadiens. and the ole, 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 you know, emails if you're...
Well, yeah, ole, 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 five in a row on the
road. I know.
Not since 88, 89.
I know. Hello.
Atop of the Atlantic.
And there's nothing much you can fire back.
You know what?
we can just say, listen to us. We've got another hour coming up. A 5-1 Winnipeg Jet win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Through thick and thin, we are here. Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Well, one of five goals. Give Joe Bowen credit, man. He's always a pro, makes the calls. He's not too happy about those Winnipeg Jet goals. Brian Little.
Why would you be?
Well, I know, but a lot of people show it. He's a pro. Brian Little's 15th of the season. Made a 4-1 for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic. Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That was the one that seemed to get Randy really ticked.
Well, you know what? That was the icing on the cake. Let's face it. I mean, that was the fourth goal. I mean, if you're able to score the second goal, it's a one-goal game on the road, and you got Leaf fans there in attendance. But I think that basically his expression typified the way that the Maple Leafs, I think, competed or lack thereof. And the only other thing that I wanted to say is we go into hour number two. As I may have used all of my words up in hour number one, as far as just trying to analyze and dissect this game. So you could be the one who's answering a lot of the questions, and I'll be the one asking you for a change.
Wait a second. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Well, I just mean that after watching what we saw tonight and the disappointment and some of the guests that we had on, in particular Bob McGill, who, again, watches this team day in and day out at practice. I mean, he was kind of dumbfounded as to how to basically describe what we watched or lack thereof with a somewhat depleted lineup. But the ice surface was the same. The Winnipeg Jets had their top 4D not dressed, and the Leafs only mustered 21 shots on net. Gave up 40. That's only the second time this year that Winnipeg has even had 40 shots. And by the way, how many times do you think we've given up 40 this year?
More than twice.
Do you care to venture how many times?
What do
this
you think, Oz? You have
right now?
I like your book there. It's like I feel like I'm in grade 12 geometry with you.
Oh, but
in the good old days, I like it. I respect your note taking.
Do you have any idea how many times this has occurred? You don't even care.
You know,
does,
I care.
Does it really matter?
I care. I'll tell you something. It's the ninth time the Maple Leafs have lost by three or four.
11th
three
time.
Or four
11th
goals.
Time.
No, ninth time they've lost by three or more goals.
Okay.
They've won by three or more goals 12 times. It's the 11th time they've given up 40 shots. Is that correct?
Okay, so there's a silver lining in all of this, right? We're still five games over 500. We're still holding on to a wild card spot, and everything's good. You know, it's we buffered ourselves with a 10-1-1 record earlier in the month of December, and so now we're 2-7 in the last nine, but all is well. Everything's going to be okay, right?
Well, let's see what the captain has to say. Let's see what the captain, Dion Phaneuf, has to say. He's a little short but sweet after tonight's 5-1 game.
During the stretch, things were going well. Things were going well. Some nights we didn't play the tightest that we could have or that we wanted to, and we found a way to win. And then during this stretch, when things aren't going well, they seem to be continuing to not go well. So we've got to find a way out. We will. We've got to go home. But this was a terrible trip for our team. There's no sugarcoating it. We're extremely disappointed in the way that we've not been able to get the job done on this trip. There were points available for us that we didn't take advantage of.
What do you think? Short and sweet.
Terrible trip. Terrible trip. Mm-hmm. No sugarcoating it. And at the end of the day, there are some things, as Bob McGill aptly pointed out, that there are things that you can control. You can't control injuries. You can't control whose line you play on. You can't control necessarily when you get tapped on the back and it's your turn to go out there. You can control effort and compete and playing with some jam and passion and energy. And there was very little of that tonight. That's the disappointing part.
Let's hear from James Reimer, goaltender James Reimer. 5-1 loss and shots on goal, as Ozzie mentioned. 40 shots dead on. The Leafs are outshot 40-21, so Reimer stopped 35 of the 40.
It's been a busy week with a lot of travel and some tough teams on the road, and I think we battled hard. And tonight, maybe we were a little tired. I mean, I think that... but, I mean, I really don't want to give that as an excuse. I mean, it's... We're all professionals, and you got to find a way to win these games and play hard and play well. And so, although we're tired, we need to find a way to, right from me on out, just to make sure we're performing at a high level.
Club staple the last two games has been its play inside its own zone, winning those battles. Seems like the Jets obviously had the edge in that department tonight, and things followed suit from there.
Yeah, I know the Jets. I thought they played a really good structured game today. I mean, they. They moved the puck well. They protected in their zone well, and they threw pucks in net, and they got a couple deflections and some interesting plays in front of the net. So the things went their way tonight, and I think they played a way that they deserved it.
What do you guys have to do when you get home to get some rest? Back to what you were doing prior to Christmas game?
No. I think we played well. I think Boston and Mini, I thought we played good hockey. I think we deserved to get points in Mini based on the way we played. I think we're on the right track. I think tonight we just ran out of gas. And so I don't think it's anything getting back to before Christmas. I think it's more just continuing to weigh in on what we've done with the last 2 games.
It's especially tiring given all the offensive zone time that they had. Like, does it wear on you more than the usual night?
Well, obviously when they spend more time in your zone, obviously it's going to make you more tired. It's just how things are, when you're working out, you're going to be more tired. So, I trust my fitness level, and I'm able to stand in there and hopefully make more saves.
You look forward to playing here, obviously. The crowd gives it to you pretty good, though. You notice that kind of thing?
It motivates you, really. I mean, it's fun to play in an environment like this, and when the barn's rocking, then. And if they're, if they're trying to get on you, I mean, it's just, it makes it more fun.
Okay, stop. Okay, I am the biggest James Reimer fan as a person. Very accommodating. That is what he's doing. But he wouldn't say bleep if his mouth was full of it tonight. I mean, stop. Yeah, I guess you're not going to throw anybody under the bus, but come on.
You're not gonna give
There's
us...
zero positives in this trip. Come on.
Okay.
Uncle. Finally,
Gord. Oh, my goodness. You're starting to...
The shark has jumped, or I've jumped the shark, or whatever. Oh, my Lord. Come on. This was a debacle.
Guarded, cautious, don't want to say
positives.
Something. Don't want to actually tell the truth, because what's going to happen if you really say what you think? Because then the next part of that would be challenging a lot of the stuff that would just create unnecessary stuff internally, and what these guys want to try to avoid is what it comes down to.
Well, this loss was in no way, shape, or form on James Reimer, but his post-game press conference there or media visit was just okay. How about that?
Yeah, perfectly described.
Just okay.
Yeah.
Stop.
But,
okay.
You know, Leo Komarov was his worst game ever.
Well, see,
Randy Carlyle. Worst game ever. Terrible. He was terrible.
Well, I interpret it a little bit that, he's probably
How was Dion tonight? How was Phil?
He's reluctant to throw. Hey,
how are your go-to guys you're going to win with?
So I don't know if he's saying to the other two guys, look, you didn't get Leo going, or I'm annoyed that I put Leo on that line. I don't know. Leo doesn't need to be on the big line to make the most of his opportunity.
You want
to
get paid the big bucks, you got to deliver. You got to be consistent. That's what we expect. That's what the big boys should be doing, plain and simple. Move on. Let's go.
Out-of-town scores. Ozzie, let's do the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll start with, what do you want to start with, finals? Let's start with finals, okay?
Okay, let's go to finals. Earlier this afternoon in Boston, the Ottawa Senators defeat the Bruins 3-2 in overtime. Scoring for the Bruins, Torrey Krug is eighth on the power play. Brad Marchand, goal number 11 for the Sens. Kyle Turris, number 8. Mike Hoffman, number 12. That was with about 4 minutes and 15 seconds to send it into overtime. And then Bobby Ryan is the hero, 44 seconds into overtime for the Ottawa Senators. Craig Anderson gets the win. And by the way, another one of those three-point games, because those two teams are right on your tail. 3-2 Sens.
And when we finish giving the out-of-town scores, I'm going to let you give your dissertation about the playoff race. It's very end. You got it all figured out as far as the points go. On the other side, it was two Western Conference teams, but we had our earlier caller, Steve, from Nashville. Okay, his Nashville Predators.
Good luck, eh? 13 scorers.
They don't have the times here. I don't know why they're putting the times this time. Anyway, oh, there they
are. I got all the times.
I got all the times. I'm fine. I got times. Okay, here we go. So anyway, his Nashville Predators, home and cooled out, leading the LA Kings 6-3. 6-3 with 2 minutes, 1 second left in the game. And the LA Kings score 3 goals. Okay, 3 yep. goals to tie it at 6-6.
Love it.
In that span. And then they score. Then Nashville scores 18 seconds in overtime to win it 7-6. So Nashville, Mike Fisher is 5th. Colin Wilson is 11th. Ryan Ellis is 4th. Matthias Ekholm is 2nd. Mark Arcobella just acquired his 8th. Olli Jokinen, his 3rd. And in overtime, Roman Josi, his 6th. For the LA Kings, Matt Green is 3rd. Alec Martinez is 4th. Dwight King is 6th. Then the 3 goals in the 3rd period. Dwight King, his 2nd of the game, 7th at the 17:59 mark. Marin Gaborik is 12th at the 18:56 mark. And the tying goal was Jeff Carter, his 11th at the 19:26 mark. It was a barn burner.
All things are rosy now in New Jersey with the coaching change. 2-2, the record is for the Devils under Lamoriello, with Stevens and Oates behind the bench. And they can thank their, how old is Jagr, by the way? 42, 3, 4, do you even know? Do you even care?
Well, I do care. I don't care the second.
15th career hat trick. 15th career hat trick, Gord, of his NHL career. 7, 8, and 9. For Jaromir Jagr, Patrick Eliash got his 5th of the season, and I believe that's who else scored? Eliash? Oh, Scotty Gomez. What about Scotty Gomez?
How about
what an
that?
Acquisition. What a re-signing. His 3rd of the season for Philadelphia. Andrew McDonald, his 2nd. Vincent LeCavalier scored his 7th. So, again, 5-2, New Jersey beats Philadelphia. We thought with that win that the Philadelphia Flyers had here in Toronto, what, 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be a turnaround time. Since then, I think the Flyers have lost 3 in a row.
Okay, so I guessed his age correctly because I thought
42.
But I thought of the 1990 draft, which was in Vancouver. He was 18 then, okay? He went, like, 4th overall.
So if you knew that, why didn't you do the math?
I just was waiting until you finished. Then I did the math, 42. Then our intrepid producer, Matt Brown. I got two Matts. Okay, Matt Brown. There's a Matt Green at Sportsnet, too. Sorry, Matt. Sorry, the other Matt as well.
He plays on the Kings, too.
Anyway, yeah, that's what's screwing me up here. So anyway, listen to this one. 42 years and 322 days is Jaromir Jagr, and he's the oldest player now in NHL history to record a hat trick. This all comes from that Matt guy, Matt Brown.
Gordy never got one at 45 or whatever he was?
Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
I did. Okay. Okay, now New York Rangers, and boy, oh, boy. Boy, oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm out of words. All I can say, they are on a tear, and Ozzie will tell you in a second about where everybody stands in the standings in the Eastern Conference. But 6-1 win over the Buffalo Sabres. Derek Brassard is 10th. Chris Kreider is 7th. Rick Nash is 24th. Dan Boyle is 3rd. Carl Hagelin is 8th. And Jesper Fest is 3rd. For Buffalo, Drew Stafford is 6th. Was the lone Sabre goal 6-1. The New York Rangers beat the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, you might want to know, Gord, they're 8-1 in their last 9 home games, outscoring the opposition 33-15. So they are red hot. And yes, let's move on to another team that's been red hot as of late. The Montreal Canadiens go into Pittsburgh. And by the way, on this recent road trip, the Habs, for the first time since 88-89, go a perfect 5-0. On this particular road
trip. Pat Burns' first year in the NHL. How about that?
How about that? Max Pacioretty with his 16th. David Desharnais his 6th. Tom Gilbert is 2nd. And Alexei Emelin with his 1st of the season for Montreal. What a great trade for Pittsburgh. The only score for the Pens was newly acquired David Perron with his 6th of the season. And by the way, This is now 9 straight games that Montreal has given up 2 goals or less in a row.
Wow.
There's a reason why they are atop the Eastern Conference with defensive play like that.
Well, I take it a Minnesota Wild team was also tired like the Toronto Maple Leafs. They get thumped 7-1 in Dallas. There was a line brawl in that game as well, so tempers got a little bit heightened. But the Dallas Stars win 7-1 for Dallas. Vern Fiddler. I got to know. Anyway.
He had a couple of goals just to help you.
What's this other guy's name here?
Colton Seaborn.
There we go. His fourth. Fiddler, his fourth as well. That's the second of the game. Tyler Seguin, holy mackerel, is 26th. Eric Cole is 7th. Antoine Roussel is 9th. And Brett Ritchie, his 2nd. And the lone Minnesota goal, Thomas Vanek. Way to go, Thomas.
Yeah.
Down 5-0. Way to put it in. Your 7th of the year.
But Tyler Seguin has been stuck on 25 for quite some time.
So well, no more. No more.
Note, newsworthy item for you. In Arizona, Gord, the Coyotes defeat the Columbus Blue Jackets 6-3. Let's go through the Columbus goal scorers. 3 of them. Tuten gets his first of the season. James Wisniewski, his 3rd of the season. And Ryan Johansson, his 11th, were the scorers for Columbus. For the Coyotes, Tobias Ryder, his 5th of the season. Ekman Larson, his 10th. Ekman Larson, 10 goals, defenseman. Sam Gagner, goal number 6. Martin Hanzel, number 7. Kyle Chipchura, number 3. And then Sam Gagner, his 2nd of the affair. A power play goal in the 3rd period. 6-3, Arizona defeats Columbus.
Near the end of the 1st period, San Jose has a 2-1 lead over the St. Louis Blues. Melker Carlson, his 2nd. And Joe Pavelski is 20th. Wow, for the San Jose Sharks, TJ Oshie has his 8th for the Blues. 2-1 San Jose, almost at the end of 1.
Did you never talk to us about the Vancouver game?
No, I'm leaving it for you.
The second game of the doubleheader tonight, I do believe, on
CBC
night in Canada. It's 1-0. Midway through the 2nd period, Alex Edler, his 4th on the power play, has given the Vancouver Canucks a 1-0 lead.
Okay, so in that case, if you're a Eastern Conference fan or Toronto Maple Leaf fan, you're hoping Vancouver can hang on so the Eastern Conference Detroit Red Wings don't get any points. But, Ozzie, you've been doing some computations, and maybe you should get a hold of James Reimer and give him the information as it is on this 2-5-0 road trip. There may be a lot of positives, but I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, but there's no positives when it comes to the playoff race.
Oh, you know what? You look at the teams that are chasing you, and yeah, this is going to be the nature once again. Every year this does happen. It just goes to show you how tight it is, you know, certainly in the wild card position. But the Maple Leafs have the number 2 wild card spot. They're tied with Washington, who is the other wild card, at 45 points each. And yet Washington has 3 games in hand. By the way, that'll be the Maple Leafs' next opponent, not until Wednesday night in Toronto. But Florida's only 2 points behind you, 4 games in hand. Boston is 1 game in hand, same thing, 2 points behind you. You got to think that the Bruins are going to be knocking on the playoff door. That's one team that for sure you have to stay ahead of. And then lo and behold, the Ottawa Senators, who also have 3 games in hand, are only 6 points back. And what about the Columbus Blue Jackets? I know they lost tonight, Gord, but yet they only have 4 games in hand. They were 10 points back with 5 games in hand, but they lose tonight. So it's still going to be a dogfight any way that you slice it. But, you know, comments, I know we overemphasize a little bit of the players' comments and think that, is there a sense of urgency or not in that particular dressing room? It appears as though there isn't, and things are fine. We're 5 games over 500. We're feeling good about ourselves. We're the highest scoring team in the National Hockey League. We've got a guy that can score at any time in a game. If, by the way, you see him during certain periods of times of games, that would be Phil Kessel. But I know I'm being a little bit harsh, but again, a disappointing loss, 5-1 in Winnipeg.
Well, 5-1 in Winnipeg it is. So when we come back, Tim Campbell will join us. He, of course, with the Winnipeg Free Press. We'll hear from James Van Riemsdyk. We'll play the Kessel.
Van Riemsdyk. Is he related to JVR?
Yeah, JVR. We'll hear from JVR. We'll hear from
Randy
Carlyle.
It's been a long night.
I know.
It's okay.
It's been an exasperating night, actually. You know, it's not been a bad night. It's just, I don't know. I just, these last two games. After the Boston win.
This is the New Year's hangover that's happening right now, right?
Well, I don't know what it is, but we had a nice dinner anyway. We did it right tonight. We did it right. And we're one group that did it right. We'll come back, talk more about the game and everything else around the NHL. 5-1, the Winnipeg Jets beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Mark Osborne, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Demand. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand.
Now they've changed the entire complement with another shot. They score! Ben Chiarot came off the bench and got the shot away. It may have been tapped in front of the net.
That was the one. That was the game winner. Ben Chiarot did score later on, but that was tipped in front of the net by Matt Halaschuk. That was goal number two. The game winner for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. There were more to come. A 5-1 win for the Jets as we welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic and Mark Osborne here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And talking a little bit about the Winnipeg Jets hockey. Winnipeg Jets hockey. We're going to head to Winnipeg now. Just want to make sure we had got him on the line. Tim Campbell, our friend Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press. And want to talk about the game tonight, but I didn't realize, Tim, you go back to the Mark Osborne era, do you, when he was a Winnipeg Jet?
I do. Good evening, guys. How are you, Mark?
He goes all the way back to the Bobby Hull era, for goodness sakes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, what was bigger, the Bobby Hull era or the Mark Osborne era?
Not quite back that far.
Well, we got a new era, the Dustin Byfuglien era. I mean, this was Bo Svensson and Walking Tall or something like this. This was, is he going to win the Hart Trophy and the Norris Trophy and the Ever Ready Battery Trophy and whatever? What an impressive performance.
Yeah, he's, it was interesting for me tonight. I think it's a pretty good evening for Dustin Byfuglien, maybe on the national game. Or one of the national games tonight. I mean, he's been back on this blue line now for a month. He's been playing pretty much like this. Certainly his coach and his teammates have appreciated the way he's been able to help them, put a big Band-Aid over all these injuries they've had. In fact, it's to the point where he's played so well, I think Paul Maurice has all but declared that when the team, if the team were to get healthy here, and they're supposed to in the next month or so, that he doesn't see Byfuglien going back to forward. So that tells you a lot, knowing what we know from before, is how bad a defenseman Dustin Byfuglien was, in the first two-plus seasons for the Winnipeg Jets. He was, I don't know if lazy is a bit too hard, but, a little lackadaisical and often the author of far too many turnovers and soft plays defensively. Well, I can't say I've seen any of that in the last month. I don't know really what's gotten into him here, aside from, they've gotten a little taste of winning, and they're keeping pace with some of the playoff teams in the West, and Dustin Byfuglien looks like a reinvented man to me.
Yeah, you know what, Tim, when you talk about keeping pace with some of the teams in the West with a win tonight, I know the Jets are actually tied with St. Louis, and St. Louis, you would think, is or are one of the powerhouse teams in the Western Conference. So this Winnipeg Jet team, I think, has surprised a lot of people this season with, I think, just their general workmanlike attitude and trying to get an identity for this team, which I have looked over the last number of years and kind of wonder what it is all about. And yet Paul Maurice seems to be pushing the right buttons or pulling the right strings. You've got to be impressed of what this team has been able to accomplish over the course of this first 39 games of the season.
Well, I think you're right, Mark, and I think Gord will recall one of our conversations last season. I think it was Rick and him, were kind of grilling me on what's the identity of this Jets team, and who are they? And all really I could put my finger on at that time is, they want to be a speed team. Well, they've continued to be a quicker team, but they're starting to use their size now to form this identity, and it's turned back to defense. This is one of the things Paul Maurice has preached since he took the job last January here in Winnipeg. It had some ups and downs to finish out last season, and they didn't make the playoffs because they weren't good enough defensively. So they've made some small systematic tweaks over the summer and through the early parts of the season, and they've really gotten to play now a little more patient game with the breakouts and a lot more reverses we see. They don't really want to force the puck up through pressure, and they've done a lot better job in their own end, just being a little tidier and a little more responsible, and that, you know, has them cruising along, I think, in the top six or seven defensive teams in the league pretty much all season long. And I think that's the root of their success, is they're able to, you know, have like nights like tonight where they can just permit a pretty offensive team to one goal, and they didn't give up a whole lot of great scoring chances tonight. You know, more nights than not, this has been the case, and I think it's the root of them heading forward.
Yeah, Tim, you know, that's exactly what I wanted you to focus on, is if you look at the Western Conference and what Winnipeg has been able to do just simply with their goals against, and they do. They entering tonight, they were seventh in the National Hockey League, only give up one goal tonight, and I know that it's not just been the goaltending, and yet the goaltending, and Michael Hutchinson, I think, has been a real... I think he had glimpses of this type of goaltending last season, and yet you would say that he's not only performed very well, he's pushed Pavlik, which has been another reason why the Jets are such a good defensive team now.
Well, I think that's bang on. You know, I think Hutchinson has, you know, they gave him a little taste at the end of last year, and I'm quite certain they liked what they saw, because they did go out and sign him for two more years in the summer. So, you know, back to camp is basically the de facto backup. And, you know, they fed him some playing time very slowly in the beginning, and his first start was fairly poor this year. It was, you know, the back end of a back-to-back in Los Angeles, so it wasn't the ideal situation. So out of that, he waited another 2 weeks for a game, and you know, but from that time on, he's just done nothing but be steady. You know, he had one really out of his mind game for my money in Chicago. I think in early November, it was a 1-0 game. And other than that, most of his starts have just been, you know, pretty steady, in good position. He's technically pretty good, and he seems to be, you know, in good position and alert all the time for that second shot. And he's just, you know, he hasn't done the extraordinary. He's just played really well. And you're right to identify the fact that, you know, it hasn't just been all goaltending. They said in the offseason about Pavlik that, you know, they expressed the manager, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and the coach, Paul Maurice, in April said, look, Pavlik's our guy. We're going to change our style a little bit, and we're going to help him, and we're going to expect him to help us. And that's exactly how it's played out here through the first half. Both goalies have done their share, but the team, with a little bit more responsibility in front of them, now has helped these goalies look a lot better. And, you know, look where they are. They've never, in the franchise's history, back to include Atlanta, all the way back to 1999, the team had never been outside of the bottom 10 in goals against in the NHL. Now here they are running along in the top 10 pretty much the whole first half. You know, that's testimony to the style and the goaltending, I think.
Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press joining Gord Stellick, Mark Osborne on Leafs Nation postgame. There was, I understand, a Leaf sweater thrown on the ice, and that's been a big deal here. They've got, like, SWAT teams now ready to jump on anyone that does it at Air Canada Centre, which they've not had the need to do for a while. I mean, what was the context? Was it somebody where – was it a Leaf fan, or did the person stick around and get an ovation, or did he or she run away?
No, I think it was a Leaf fan, and there were a good number of them in the MTS Center tonight, you know, as there are when the Leafs travel all about the NHL, really. I know it's more than normal in most Canadian cities, but I didn't read too much into that. I mean, some people are just into theatrics, and, you know, the Leafs have had a rough road trip, back-to-back nights. I mean, you know, I guess you expect a miracle once in a while, but, you know, to me, this is the Leafs probably at their poorest tonight. You know, some foolish turnovers in the middle of the ice tonight, probably uncharacteristic a little bit. And, you know, I think just a little bit of rest and some home games, you'll see this team. It's got too much power to just sort of wither up and go into the corner. And I wouldn't worry too much about fans who give up too early.
Tim, just getting back to some of your comments in regards to the Winnipeg Jets and maybe some of the off-season just changes in philosophy. And I'm kind of wondering, because I think, and you mentioned just with the Maple Leafs that, you know, they're a team that can score and they've got some talented players. But yet with the Winnipeg Jets, like, they've gotten better defensively and the goaltending has been a little bit more solidified with the way that Hutchinson has played. But how do you change a culture when basically you look at the lineup, it's pretty well the same core group of players for these last number of years. How has that been able to, how did that transform? How did that just simply happen?
Well, you know, actually that's pretty perceptive, Mark, because you're right. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, the Jets have a new goalie and they signed Matthew Perreault and, you know, they've got some different elements here. But you're absolutely right in my eyes. This is the same core of the team that, you know, more or less moved here from Atlanta. It's the same number one goalie. It's the same four or five important defensemen, and you can throw Byfuglien in there, and it's the same leaders at forward like Andrew Ladd and Blake Wheeler and Brian Little and Evander Kane. All these key players have come from Atlanta, and, you know, they could never get it figured out in the first three seasons here. And I think, you know, a little bit less than a half a season so far, to me the answer has to be Paul Maurice. And he, you know, he came in here last year. I don't think he tried to rip it all apart and make it different right away. He came here, did what he could with kind of the mess that was dumped in his lap, and they had a limited amount of success. They got really good, you know, out of the gate when he got here, but when push came to shove down the stretch, you know, they did what they always, you know, seem to do, the Jets in Atlanta. They went backwards in March and April, and they've always done that. So in the off season, I mean, he took stock, and I think the message was, look, you know, I coached against you guys when I was in Carolina for a time. So he had some familiarity with how the Thrashers and the Jets, you know, used to play and the personnel. And then he spent some time, you know, a little bit of time in television, and you take a more analytical look, I suppose, without a horse in the race like he had in Carolina. And what he came up with was, look, we have a lot of good things here. We're a young team. We're a pretty quick team. You know, our size is improving. We have some younger, bigger players, like an Adam Lowry is a really good example. Mark Scheifele's not a small player. And, you know, so here's what we need to do. We've got some tools here, but if we don't start keeping the puck out of our net, you know, we're just going to be banging our head against the wall trying to design up good offense or a different power play or whatever. So I think, you know, analytically, he convinced these guys that they were going to have to stop freelancing and start buckling down in their own end. Because, you know, he had all the evidence. He'd been around them. He'd observed them. And he's coached over 1,000 games in the league. He's probably got some, you know, some street cred with these guys. And I think after, you know, it took them 3 or 4 weeks to get this ironed out. And then they started to win some games, 1-0 and 2-1. They were pretty good on the road at the end of October and into November. And I think once they started to get a few of those results, I think you saw some big-time buy-in from some of these important players. And I know I spoke to Brian Little, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, one off day about this kind of transformation, and he put it to me this way. He just thought the core of this team was sick of losing, and they were very open to a new kind of message that Paul Maurice has brought.
I was going to ask, I know I appreciate we've kept you a long time, but just the coach you're familiar with, Randy Carlyle, we just played his, you know, his tapes and or tape of him and talking and seemed pretty upbeat, but I'm curious your thoughts about a guy that obviously is very much under the hot seat and a guy that spent some very enjoyable and successful years in Manitoba.
Well, he did. Randy Carlyle is held in pretty high regard in this part of the world, and you know, for his NHL time as well as his time with the Moose organization in the IHL and the AHL, those were pretty important years to a lot of people here. And you know, I think they helped Randy along his road into a good coaching career. So, you know, I don't know. I hear a lot of important things in his message these days about managing the puck and maybe playing a little bit better defense. But, you know, they've had some trying times. This road trip has clearly, you know, taken a toll, not just with the injuries, but I think some mental fatigue. You know, I thought maybe they could have won that game in Minnesota last night. A little bit unlucky at times, but they did hurt themselves, and they really hurt themselves with some of those mid-ice giveaways tonight. In the second period especially, they got the first goal,
which I thought was going to be really important for Toronto, but they really, you know, they really didn't get very much out of it because the Jets responded so quickly and almost easily. The Leafs didn't really put up much of a fight in their own end, I didn't think.
Tim, always appreciate your time. Have a very happy new year.
You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you, sir. Tim Campbell from the Winnipeg Free Press, Winnipeg point of view.
Now, can you stop making, like, reference points to my time in Winnipeg? You know, like, I was barely there for the parts of two seasons, and I can't say it was a memorable time in my career to be in Winnipeg.
Well, obviously, Tim feels differently there. Obviously, you're a popular guy just because you broke your thumb third game into it and all that stuff.
Brendan Shanahan slash, by the way.
Well, there you go.
I'll remind you of that.
Well, so, he knew how to take care of you. See if
so
Brendan
do I have
Shanahan
any personal
can take care
grudges
of the Leafs.
Against Brendan?
Well, we'll find out if he can take care of the Leafs like he took care of you after three games as a member of the Winnipeg Jets. James Van Riemsdyk, let's hear what JVR has to say, and then we'll hear Randy Carlyle once again. James Van Riemsdyk after tonight's 5-1 loss.
We're happy with our efforts in those two games for a more consistent part, and we did a lot of good things. And again, tonight they played very well, and we didn't do enough to win the game.
How much of a force is Dustin Byfuglien when he's flying the way he is, given how big he is?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, with him, I skate with him in the summer, and he plays the exact same way out there now as he does in the summer. So, yeah, he's a very good player, and he can control the game out there.
What do you guys have to do especially given the injuries?
Yeah, just regroup. I mean, again, it's been a long stretch on the road here, so we'll get back. We'll have a few good days of practice and get back at it.
You're obviously conscious your comfort zone in the playoffs shrunk a little bit during this road trip. A lot of teams made up the ground that you had taken once you went 8-1.
Yep. Yeah, it's there's an 82-game season, so we know we're at the halfway point now. And, again, you got to ride out the ebbs and flows of the season. And If you're not in the playoffs after game 82, it doesn't matter if you're in or not after game 40. So again, we know we got some work to do, and we're not afraid to get back at it and go from there.
To account for the sort of extremes of this team's runs. You know, you go on that 10-1-1 run, and then since then you're 2-7. What do you make of that?
I don't know. There's always ebbs and flows to a season, so it's tough to comment. I mean, obviously we'd like to find a little more consistency, but yeah, that's. Teams go through that every single year. So,
James Van Riemsdyk tonight got an assist, was minus two, 18 minutes, 25 seconds of ice time.
Basically saying, you know what, not a big deal. That's the sense I got from, you know, James, and maybe, you know, his tact and approach is not necessarily a bad thing, I guess. I don't think they want to get too carried away with where they're at with this recent slide in the last nine or so games.
Well, and they control it much more than you or I do or anybody listening out there, so that's up to them to hopefully do something about it starting Wednesday against the Washington Capitals. Do want to hear from Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlyle. Again, we talked about it, that he seemed in pretty good upbeat demeanor after the game, and certainly on the hot seat, which I'm sure he's quite aware of, but here he is talking about the end of this arduous, unsuccessful road trip and the 5-1 loss to the Winnipeg Jets tonight.
How do you avoid tired mistakes in a situation like that?
Well, I think that really what we try to do, and we know back-to-backs are going to be, you know, challenging when another team has, you know, been rested for 3 or 4 days, but usually what you try to do is you try to get your structure and you play simple, and you stop in the defensive zone. You don't get up above the puck. You're always on the defensive side, and our group did none of that tonight.
That said, you got the start you would have liked as well with Mike's goal.
Yeah, and, you know, but then, you know, a minute later, we give up a goal. And we had opportunities, and we were outside the zone when we should have been in a safer defensive posture, and that's the kind of things that hurt us. And then they scored the second one, and once they went 3-1, we just seemed to lose all of our acumen as far as playing the game. We did a bunch of things. We were all over the place.
Changed lines a bit again tonight. Obviously, that's going to be an ongoing thing with the
Well, injuries. Exactly. And when you're not having what you think is it any balance whatsoever through your lineup, then you've got to try and find ways to do that. But, you know, again, It's an opportunity for some other people when you have injuries and when you have issues that your lineup can't be what you want it to be, and nobody's is that way for the course of 82 games. That other people get an opportunity to show us what they've got.
Did you like Leo with Phil in particular?
No. I thought that was Leo's worst game of the year.
Randy, when you look back, you went 10-1-1 there, and then since you've gone 2-7. I mean, you count that kind of wild swing.
Well, the 2-7 is from the Christmas break is what I remember most, because we won the game before in Dallas 4-0. We didn't play very good, but we won the hockey game. But then when we went into Florida, didn't think we played that well, but we still had a two-goal lead going into the third, and those are the kind of ones that hurt you. We had a two-goal lead against Tampa in Tampa. They come back, and we didn't get points out of that. And those are the ones that hurt you. We go into Boston, you know, we find a way to win a game in a tough building. And then last night, again, we were in the hockey game, but we took ourselves out with undisciplined. So there's a bunch of things that are ailing our hockey club, and we're going to have to get back to practice, focus on the process, regroup with our players, and bring some of the things that are rearing their ugly head here over the last little while.
Maple Leaf head coach Randy Carlisle, you mentioned the Leo Komarov comment. I'm trying to listen to it a little more closely because you thought he, you know, kind of singled Komarov out, which I see that. I also wonder if it's as much that it just didn't work playing on the Phil Kessel line.
What do you see? A little bit of both. I think off the cuff type of comment. I was just a little bit surprised in his choice of words to a foot soldier, a guy that plays night in and night out, has become an internal respected so-called leader. You know, I don't think he's got the verbiage to match what's required as a leadership type of thing. As a, you know, if you look across the team that we played in, say Andrew Ladd, you know, like Leo Komarov might bring a similar type of skill set or energy to the mix as an Andrew Ladd does. And yet, to single out Leo talking about his game being terrible. I haven't heard him talk about Phil Kessel in that light or Dion Phaneuf, Bernier, you name those top guys.
Minnesota Wild beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 3-1 last night. They lose 7-1 to the Dallas Stars today. Ryan Carter of the Wild calls it rock bottom for the Minnesota Wild. How would you term this for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Well, I wouldn't call it rock bottom. And my assessment and my opinion of what I've been watching for quite some time now is of real concern. But I don't hear the players, and we just heard James Van Riemsdyk. I did it what you just did. But
hey, don't throw me
anyways,
on the bus.
JVR, I just don't hear that sense of urgency out of the players, in spite of the fact they're 2-7 in the last 9. I would like to see a little bit more accountability and owning up for their indifferent play, put it that way.
Well, we will be back on the airwaves Wednesday. It's all our action as the Maple Leafs. So can they make it home sweet home once again as they take on the Washington Capitals? It is suddenly the fur is flying, and a bunch of teams are in the thick of the playoff race, including the Toronto Maple Leafs. A 5-1 win tonight for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Court Stellick, Mark Osborne on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.